and the last book we finished last time, Joshua. We learn first man prayed for even his enemies or others. That man was Abraham. Now you know the story. That story is written in Genesis chapter 20. Let's read a couple of verses. Genesis 20 verse 6 and 7.
And God said unto him in a dream, Yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart. For I also withheld thee from sinning against me, therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live, and if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine.
This is what happened when that king took Sarah and kept it to marry with her. God did not allow that man to touch her. Now he was the king. He can do anything, whatever he wants. Even the Abraham told him, she is my sister. And so he did not ask his permission. And he took her by force. And then he wanted to marry her. But God did not allow. And God gave him a dream and told him, the man, means he's talking about Abraham, is a prophet. And give it back to him. If you don't do, you will surely die. Okay, let's read verse 17 and 18.
So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants. And they bare children. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife.
When this man did something wrong to Abraham, and Abraham, God says, he is the prophet of God. If Abraham would have said, Lord, I want you to destroy whole this nation. I'm not going to pray. But he humbled himself and he said, okay, Lord, I'm going to pray. So when he prayed, all these people got healed. And he says, what was their problem? Because they were not able to bear the children. And so I don't know how many days. If it was 1 week or 2 weeks, and 2 weeks child comes late, nobody's going to say the womb was shut. But it should be more than a couple of years or something, and that's what the problem was. But point I'm making here, Abraham was the man of God, and somebody will say he lied and this and that, but in the same chapter, he explains to the king who Sarah is. He says, Sarah is my sister. How she became sister? He says, my father had two wives. So she is not from my own mother. She is from the other lady, but we have same father. She is not coming from my own mother. So in those days, they were marrying their own relatives. But at the same time, point I'm making here, Abraham was man of God, and God himself said, he is a prophet. And so if anyone try to do harm to the man of God, God is not going to allow. And that's what we see from here. And then he prayed for the man, and whole nation was healed. So the Isaac learned everything from his dad. And now Isaac also start traveling, and he came to certain place. And then there was a famine in the land, so he wanted to go to Egypt. God said, don't go to Egypt. Now, Isaac has to think, my father went to Egypt, but his father went to Egypt and he got a problem with the Sarah. But this time, Isaac says, okay, God, if I'm not going to Egypt, then you're going to bless me here.
And there was a famine in the land, the sign of the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar.
Verse 12.
Then Isaac sowed in that land, and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him.
Now see, this Isaac was a godly man, obeyed the Lord, stayed in there, and God blessed him. He has to have courage to sow in the famine And when he did, he got hundredfold in return. And go to the Genesis chapter 25, start reading from verse 20 and 21.
And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan Aram, the sister to Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived.
Isaac is a godly man. His wife was barren, just like his mother. When his mother was barren, Abraham did not go to God to pray, but he went to Hagar and got a child. Isaac got a message. This time, I'm not going to get another girl and get married. I'm going to wait upon the Lord. And he prayed to God, and God gave him his wife, two children. So that means God heard his prayer. So we see first man prayed, Abraham. Second man in the Bible who prayed for his family and prayed for the not to have famine, Isaac. Now the third man, their grandson. Let's read Genesis chapter 28, verse 20 to 22. It's a whole chapter if somebody wants to read it, but we don't have time.
And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee.
Now here, Jacob promising God, means he talked to God, that's a prayer, and he promised God, if you bless me, I'm going there, and if I come back, if I have the clothes to wear and food to eat, and if you keep my life safe, then I will come back and worship you, and I will give you 10%. And he did exactly. What we're learning, father, son, and a grandson. Now they learn how to depend on God, pray to God, and get an answer from God. So that Jacob, whatever he prayed, God gave him answer, and if you read the whole thing, you will know. And that's the way God blessed Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We are seeing another man who prayed is Moses. Numbers chapter 12, we already studied this. Now, if you read about Moses, he prayed several times, but we are not going one by one. We are talking about here real some kind of sickness or disease. Okay, Numbers chapter 12, verses 11 to 13.
And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed, when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee.
Now, cry unto God, that means he prayed. Here we see Moses was the man of prayer, and he prayed for his sister, and God healed her. Our God is a prayer answering God, but God will not answer the prayer if you are not living right, and if your life is not lined with God, God will not answer the prayer. Now, Book of Job is very old book. Many people say that Book of Job is almost the time of Moses. Job might be living, and we have all the history, but I'm not going there. Now this Job, if you start reading the book, he was a righteous man, was a holy man, good man, and rich man. Job chapter 1, verse 10.
Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land.
Now, this is what the enemy say. He says, I cannot even touch him, until God says yes. And says, you keep the hedge of protection. At that particular time, if somebody says, what kind of protection he had, what he was doing, what kind of prayer he was doing. If you read, he was doing sacrifices, blood sacrifice, not only for himself, for his children. His children were having party and having good time. So he said, Lord, I don't want my children to die. If they die in their sin, I am praying behalf of them and I'm doing sacrifice behalf of my children. That's what he was doing. According to the Old Testament, if you do the sacrifice to God, God is going to bless you because you are doing according to the law. Read the Psalm 32, chapter 32, verse 1.
Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered.
Now, here he's saying, blessed this man. Who is this man? Whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Now, this is the man like a Job. He is doing sacrifices all the time, so he is blessed. And God has put the hedge of protection, means just like a covering, over his property, house and children and everything. He's covered, so Satan cannot touch. That's the one kind of blessing. So that's the kind of blessing Job had. But our blessing is much more bigger and better than Job's blessing. Verse 2. Here he says, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not the iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. And God says, I don't find any sin, I don't find any iniquity in his spirit, and I don't find any guile. He's completely holy man. Now comparing to the first person, his sins are covered. In the Old Testament, when you commit sin, you have to give the offering. If you don't give the offering, your sins will be uncovered. If you give the offering, your sins will be covered. But here, with the blood of Jesus Christ, what happens? Our spirit also cleansed, our conscience also be cleansed. Read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, and start reading from verse 12.
Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh.
When the Old Testament people sprinkled the blood on unclean people, they sanctified them, purifying them outwardly, their flesh means outward cleaning and outward covering they get.
How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?
See now, purge your conscience to serve the living God. That means inward cleansing. Those people did not have the inward cleansing. We have inward cleansing. That's why when you say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you shed your precious blood for me, come into my heart. So Jesus Christ's blood start purifying inside out. And so this is much more blessing. That's what the second verse we read in 32 Psalms, that says this person has no iniquity, there is no sin in him, there is no guile in his spirit, or this man is completely holy man. So that is the New Testament born-again believers. Now, let's go back to the Job. Let's read chapter 2, verse 9. So, when he had the problem, boils came and he started scraping his body and a lot of pain.
Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die.
Okay, so his wife could not take it that this man has a lot of pain. She was not any help to him. Why don't you die? I don't want your sickness. I don't want your disease. That's what she was telling him, and that is not comforting. So this was the Job's situation. And now, many people will say, according to the word of God, Job was a godly man. God already testified about him. So there was no fault in him. Why did happen to these kind of things to Job? What was his problem? Let's read Job chapter 3, verse 25 and 26.
For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came.
For the things which I greatly feared is come upon me. He said, if something happens to my children, and if they die in their sin, I am going to do sacrifice behalf of them. When your children doing something wrong, you correct them. He just did sacrifice and live in fear. And he says, I was greatly feared. Not ordinary fear, that means he had no peace. Even though God bless him with the finances, he has so many servants and so much money and so much big fame. If you read about him, he said, when I was going on the street, people will salute me. I was a big man in the street. If I go to the gate, people will be saluting me. And now see what happened to me. So he was a well-known and well-respected man. But he could not train his children to do the right thing. We see in the Bible like that. Eli, the priest, could not train his children. Samuel, he could not train his children. David, he could not train his children. Could not train their children rightly. So this is the same thing. He says, for the things which I fear greatly is come upon me, and that which was, I was afraid. He said, I was not in safety. God's protection was over him, but he didn't know that. And this man was living in fear and anxiety. He was not fully trusting in God, even though he is doing sacrifice and everything, but inside of his heart, like a war going on. He could not have safety, he could not rest, and he was in trouble. So, man of God, no safety, lot of trouble, and no rest. If you're a man of God, you trust in the Lord. If you're a man of God, when you go to bed, you go in peace. Jesus Christ said, O heavy laden, come unto me, I will give you rest. Once you receive Jesus Christ, you don't have to worry. And then we know 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, he has given us love, power, and sound mind. Right? If the God has not given us the spirit of fear, then who gives? Satan, the enemy. So the enemy, the devil, was always going like a roaring lion, looking the Job to destroy him and finding the opportunity, but he is doing sacrifice after sacrifice. So God is pleased with him because of sacrifice. He was living in fear. Who? Job. He was living in fear. He didn't have rest and he was having a troubled mind. So when we are a godly people, we should not be afraid. We should not be living in fear and doubt. We should be living in peace. The things I greatly feared means he was living in fear. And then we learn he was not living in safety. He was not living in peace. He was living in trouble. He had no rest. So from the word of God, I am proving it. If I'm saying something, I prove it from the word of God. And I'm going to prove it more. Now here, there are four people were there and three people came to accuse him. Now their name is given. We will reading later on. So the three people came and start accusing Job. And Job got so angry and he start fighting with them with the angry mind. And he and start cursing his birthday and cursing why I was born and start saying anything comes in his mind. And then we see there is a one man. His name is Elihu. Go to the Job chapter 32. Please read first couple of verses.
So these three men ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. Then was kindled the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barachel the Buzite, of the kindred of Ram. Against Job was his wrath kindled, because he justified himself rather than God.
Okay, now this one verse will give you the idea. He was so angry at those three people. They did not discuss properly with Job, and Job did not properly give answer. So if you have time, when you go home, read from chapter 32 to 37. And then after this, Job did not answer this man one time. He answered to other three people all the time, but he never answered this man at all. But when this man finished talking, God comes in surface. Then God start talking. And when God start talking, let's go to the book of Job, chapter 40, and start reading verse 1 to 5.
Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said...
Okay, God start talking to him from chapter 38, and now this is chapter 40. So he talked, and now he's continuously asking me a question. Okay, go ahead.
Shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it.
Now, he's talking to Job.
Then Job answered the Lord and said, Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth.
Okay, now he's confessing. He's nobody. He's a weak vessel. He's a mortal man. He has no power over God. He says, I am keeping my hand over my mouth. What does it mean? I said something bad, I don't want to say anything more. So he said, I'm going to shut my mouth. Because he's saying something, and he did so many wrong things saying it. And so he said, now I'm going to keep my mouth shut. Now, somebody can tell me, if he was saying good things, everything to pleasing God, why he has to shut his mouth? You understand the point? So he said, now I keep my mouth shut. Following.
Once have I spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further.
Now he said, if I said something once, if I said something twice, I made a mistake not once but twice, or more than that, but now I'm not going to say anything. This is it. Whatever God says, I'm going to listen. Whatever God tells me, I will do. Now, this is the end. Means this is the real change of heart we see in Job. Real change of heart. Now he says, I'm not going to brag about me. I'm not going to brag about my past. It's done. It's finished. I'm wrong. I did mistake. Now I shut my mouth. I will not talk. I will listen to you, whatever you say. Once he says that, then let's go to the chapter 42. Start reading from verse 1.
Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not.
See? Whatever I said, I didn't understand. I made a mistake. Now it's clear to me because God started talking and making something understanding to him. Because before that he didn't know. Okay, go ahead.
Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes.
Okay. Now, if man did not make a mistake, did that person say, I repent? No. So he made a mistake. So now he said, I'm going to repent. So from this, we can say, Job made a mistake. Even though he was a righteous man, Ezekiel says, if the righteous man on his righteousness start committing sin, he will die. He would have gone to hell. But he repented. He came to his senses. I am wrong. God is right. Elihu is right. And I'm going to repent. I'm going to ask God forgiveness. I'm going to sit in ashes. And I'm going to repent. Go ahead.
And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, My wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath.
Now see, God only accused three people. This man and two other friends. But the first man we talked, Elihu, he did not say anything bad about this. So the three people, he said, you accuse and you said bad about Job. Go ahead.
Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job.
Because when you repent, your sins are already gone. Now you are not a guilty man, you are a good man. That's what happens. Confess your sins, then your sins are forgiven and forgotten, and that God considers you never committed any sin. That's what happened. So he said, Job didn't do anything wrong. Okay? He's a good man. You people lied to him. Now he's my servant. Nobody can argue with God and be just. So he said, nobody can stand before God. But now when Job repented, God saying to his three bad friends, you said bad things. You accuse Job. Job is a good man. He's my servant. Now go to him and take for offering. And he tells them what to take for the offering. And then you do the sacrifice, and Job is going to pray for you.
So Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Naphathite went and did according as the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job.
See, here these three people's name is given. The fourth person who said, starts saying from Job chapter 32 to 37, that person's name is not here. So these are the guilty people. They thought they're doing right thing, just like a Paul. Paul was beating the Christian people, destroying them, thinking he's doing right. They went and start saying, you are a sinner, you're going against God. And God cannot punish people like that. And they were taking the side of God, but at the same time, they didn't know how to minister to Job. So he starts saying, you know, Job is the man of God, and they treated him badly and things like that. So you better go and ask Job forgiveness, sacrifice, and he will pray for you. And so he said, I already received Job, means Job now is a good man in the sight of God because he repented. He asked forgiveness. So now he is a new Job. Okay, verse 10.
And the Lord turned the captivity of Job. When he prayed for his friends, also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before.
Job was still sick. He was still having this pain and problem when God talked to him. And Job said, I said once, I said twice, I'm going to shut my mouth, I'm not going to argue you. When God tells him, Job, now you better pray for these people who are accusing you, and you pray for them. And they're going to come bring the sacrifice. Now Job became like a high priest or priest. So they are coming, and he's going to help them to forgive their sins. If the Job would have said, Lord, those people were accusing me, and now if I'm going to pray for them, they're not going to even believe. God did not heal you. You're still in your problems. Well, how can you pray for us? That's what the people think. Some kind of trouble can come to anybody. And somebody says, please pray for me, and you start complaining your sickness. That other person will never get healed, and even though he is not strong in faith, he might be backslidden or go astray. You don't tell your problem to that person. You tell your problem to God. And you said, okay, sir, you call for prayer, I'm going to pray because I'm not the healer. Jesus is. So I'm going to pray in the name of Jesus. And you will be healed. That's what you have to say. But if you start complaining, if somebody calls you for prayer, you don't try to complain of your problems to them. So Job did not complain. Job did not say, Lord, you heal me first. Otherwise, those people are not going to listen to me because those people made fun of me. And so how can I pray for them? But he obeyed God, right? And so God is trying to say, not because we are well so we can pray, or we are sick, we cannot pray, because God is the one healer. And when God tells us to do his will, we should do until we die. There was a one man doing the translation, I forgot his name, and he was doing the translation of Book of St. John. And he was sick, dying. And each paragraph he write, he said, how much more I have to do it? He said, one paragraph, two paragraph. And he said, how much? He said, last word. Finish? Yes, finish. Last word, finish. And he gave up his ghost. Means he died. So you can see the last word he translated and he died. But he didn't say, I'm not worthy, I cannot do it. If God wants me to do this translation, you better heal me. His time had come, so you will go. But sickness, disease, problem would come to anybody. But how are you taking it? When you have a problem, you're going to God, why this came to me, and you don't complain to God. You're going to say, Lord, I know you're going to heal me. This is the enemy's trick. Enemy wants to put me down, but I'm not going to take it from enemy. I'm going to defeat the enemy in the name of Jesus, and I'm going to go forward. And then God will do it. God did not say, Job, okay, Job, I know you are a righteous man, and whatever your friends accuse you, I'm not accusing you. Go doing whatever you're doing. Will not happen. When Jesus saw this lady's prostitute, what? Jesus said, okay, who is righteous, never committed sin, throw the first stone, everybody were guilty, and they left. Then Jesus said, okay, where are those people, didn't condemn you? I'm not condemning you. You are already condemned. So what I'm going to say, go and sin no more. So people say, oh, Jesus Christ was the friend of sinner. Oh, he was friend of sinner, but he did not commit sin and he did not allow people to commit sins. So here we see, when God told him to pray, he did not argue with God and prayed, and God healed him and gave the twice the blessings. And if you read the whole chapter with a couple of verses, he says, even his relatives and friends came back to him, start giving gold and silver and gift. And that's why he became rich. Okay, so let's pray. Today we learn that God listens to the prayer of righteous people. And all the people we studied today, they were children of God, they were prophet of God. But when they go astray, God will correct them and bring them to right path, and God can still use them. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You have called us with a definite high calling and no turning back. In our path, the trouble, the sickness, the disease, the problems, and all kinds of disturbance comes. Protect us from all the dangers and harms. And give us the holy boldness to tell the people truth. Because your word says, ye shall know the truth, and truth shall set you free. We are not here to condemn the people, but we are here to tell the truth. And truth will hurt. But your word says, godly sorrow produces repentance. So give us that holy boldness to give the word of God, so the people can get saved, healed, delivered and set free, and start serving the Lord. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.